I'm Luka Doncic, and this is Locked On Mavericks Podcast. The
Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions. Bang! 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 It's good!
And the Mavericks have won the game!
Thank you, Mr.
You told them?
No, I didn't.
I can't believe you told them, Luke.
I didn't tell them.
Bobby, you told them.
I didn't tell anything.
You told me.
I didn't tell anything.
You told me.
I didn't tell.
You told me about what?
And welcome. You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks. My name is Nick Angstead, media member and coordinator for the Locked On Podcast Network. And joining me, as always, my co-host, contributor at Mavs.com, the Berea baddie, the One More Thinking. What you got for me, Isaac Harris?
It's a sad, sad day. JJ Berea, man. It hasn't been made official. Let's just say that has not been made official yet for the Mavericks, but Tim McMahon, ESPN, put the report out there that, I mean, this has been something we've been on the lookout for. Anybody who follows the Mavericks, that they had 16 guaranteed contracts going into training camp. JJ Barea, Wes Iwundu, this, you know, kind of flyer wing out of Orlando. It's like, which one of these guys could possibly make the roster? And JJ, the legend, seems like he might be on the way out.
It seems that way. Tim McMahon reports it, and so we will talk about that today. On today's show, we are going to break down what this means for the Mavericks, what it means with JJ going out. Seems like somebody's going to come in and replace him. Then the Mavericks would have 16 players again. We'll talk about that, what that means for the Mavericks. Then we're going to talk about JJ Barea's career. We're going to spend most of the show talking about what JJ did, the big moments in his career, and then we're going to get into what JJ means to the Mavericks. Isaac spoke to Mark Cuban a couple years ago that was on this podcast. We're going to run that back and talk about JJ Barea getting his number retired and where we stand on that and Ring of Honor and all that kind of stuff, what JJ means to this franchise, because JJ Barea means a whole lot to this franchise. And he's not just this random bench player that just has kind of stuck around for a long time. I mean, he means a lot to this franchise. So we're going to talk about him. Let's get into it. So, report from Tim McMahon, as Isaac said, sources. Mavs plan to release JJ Barea on Thursday. Mark Cuban knew this move was likely when Barea signed a one-year $2.6 million deal last week, but wanted to reward him for his impact over 11 years with the Mavs. Barea, 36 years old, still hopes to play in the NBA this season. So this was one of the theories, right, that they were going to sign him, give him the guaranteed money, $2.6 million, and then either make him an assistant coach and be the highest paid assistant coach, right, or that they would, you know, give him the guaranteed money and then let him go on his way to find another spot or anything like that. It seems to be the latter, that they're giving him the money and then they're just going to let him go, hopefully find a place somewhere else. But it's going to be so weird to see Barea play somewhere else, right? I mean, we saw him play in Minnesota for those 3 years, and that was just weird. But now, you know, for him to go ring chase or whatever he's going to do at the end of his career, I mean, that's just going to be weird.
Hey, whatever JJ wants to do, go do it, because he deserves that, and we love JJ. And yeah, I mean, I think the timing of it is a little odd, just because we're still, you know, we're not at that deadline yet, you know, to cut the roster from the 20 players down to the basically 17 if we count the two-way guys and that. So the timing of it's a little odd, saying, hey, we're going to bring you in, and we're what, a week into training camp, and then they're saying, hey, go on your way. Does he have something else lined up? We don't know. But you know, if he does go ring chasing, go do it, man. I'm happy for it. If he does go to another team and he plays this guy, what does JJ want right now? I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, whenever you're listening to this pod, he's due to talk to the media on Thursday afternoon after practice in training camp, him and Rick Carlisle. So we'll see what JJ Barea says then. But it's like, what does JJ want? I think the Mavericks would love to have him stick around the team, be an assistant coach with the team. His relationship with Luka Doncic, I mean, that was, I mean, very evident over the past year or so. So Luka loves him. The Mavericks absolutely love him as an organization. So I think that would be the ideal route for the Mavs. But if JJ still wants to play, then hats off to him. Go play somewhere. If he can latch onto a team, and if it's a young team, be the veteran. If it's an older team, a playoff team, go do it. Whatever JJ wants, just give it to JJ.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the whole Dirk scenario, right? I mean, kind of on a lesser level, like the spot's going to be there. Go do whatever you want to do. In Dirk's case, it's go eat ice cream, right? It's like, go ahead and go do whatever you want to do. Go travel if you can, you know, now with COVID, maybe not so much, but go eat ice cream, go do that kind of stuff. And then But the spot will be here. Whatever you want to do. I was even listening to your interview that we're going to get to a little bit later. That was 2 years ago, probably. And we were talking about what Dirk was going to do. And Cuban just said, whatever he wants. Whatever he wants to do. I think JJ would have a similar offer. I think that, you know, according to sources, it seems like JJ wants to get into coaching. He's done some coaching with, you know, the Puerto Rican team and things like that. And so I think that, you know, that's the route that he wants to go down. And so that spot will hopefully probably be open for him whenever he wants. But yeah, go play somewhere else if he can find a spot. So yeah, JJ Barea on his way out. For the Mavericks, I think that this was something we've talked about a lot. If you've listened to this podcast every day, if you're a card-carrying Raccoon Squad member that listens every single day, that we've talked about this as, you know, they need a vet. And now all of a sudden, if JJ's gone, like there are not a lot of vets, right? It's kind of James Johnson and Boban, the only two guys over the age of 30, and your vets are starting to look like, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's been around a little bit. You have Josh Richardson, he's kind of been around a little bit, but there's not a ton of veteran leadership on this team outside of like James Johnson, really, and Boban. So what the Mavericks do, though, is they bring in Courtney Lee, who was kind of, you know, a veteran last year. A lot of guys talked about him, and he was kind of the James Johnson last year as far as veteran leadership, right? Because James Johnson, now his name's getting dropped by a lot of these players. So he's the veteran that they're looking to. And last year is Courtney Lee. You know, a lot of people, Luca mentioned Courtney Lee. Like other players would mention Courtney Lee by name. So according to Tim McMahon, Mavs plan to sign Courtney Lee to replace JJ Barea on the camp roster. Like Barea, Lee was considered a leader and a great vet in Dallas locker room, despite not being in a regular rotation last season. Mavs value that kind of presence, even though Lee is a roster long shot. So for the roster, what it looks like, the Mavericks are, you know, they're sticking with, you know, what they have now. Courtney Lee's going to come in. He's going to be part of the, you know, training camp. He's going to play in these preseason games, but then he's on his way out, right? Wes Iwundu has that spot now. And so everybody that was upset about JJ Barea coming in and taking that spot, and they need to move on, and it's time to move on for the Mavs. Looks like you guys got your way.
Yeah, I mean, there was a portion of the Mavs fan base, a pocket, I guess, of the Mavs fan base that kind of planted their flag on this, hey, JJ shouldn't be on this team, which I thought was kind of weird, but, you know, whatever, if you want.
Is what is.
Yeah, is what it is, but for the 15th spot on the team that we're talking about. But yeah, it looks like Wes Iwundu gets that spot, you know, coming out of camp or coming into camp, I guess, or going to the first preseason game. But for Courtney Lee, you know, this is a vet, like you said, it's coming off an injury. He still wants to play in the league. He actually played rotation minutes for this Mavericks team before he got hurt, before the league shut down, too. So I think if he could prove that he's healthy, whether it's Dallas or someone else, they should keep him on the roster, bring him into a younger roster, let him be a vet, but also a vet that can contribute. So this looks like, you know, for the next week or so before the cutdown date, this looks like a prolonged job interview, right, for Courtney Lee. It looks like a thing. It's like, hey, we're gonna try to put you on a showcase a little bit, kind of do you right too, give you some money to come to camp, play some preseason minutes for us, run with these young guys, show some other teams across the league that you can still play. And heck, even if he, you know, that's not the case, if he shows that he can still play and other teams still don't, you know, pick him up, we still don't know. I mean, what if Dallas makes a consolidating type of trade in the next, you know, month or so, or somebody gets hurt, you know, or something like that. And it's like, all right, they got to bring somebody up. If they know that Courtney Lee is already, you know, healthy and back to normal, then it's just a natural bringing back at that point. So yeah, I love giving Courtney Lee kind of the same treatment as JJ. It's like, hey, let's give you some money and bring you into camp and let's see what it's about.
I don't know if Courtney Lee's getting that guaranteed deal, though. Maybe he'll get some money for being on the training camp roster. But
he'll get some type of money, but not the same amount of money.
They could just give him the vet minimum, right? Like, they're already over the cap. It's like, it's kind of free money at that point. You can go over the cap with any vet minimums you want.
I will say this. I think it's been really cool just tonight on Twitter. You know, we're recording this on Wednesday night just to see some of the other vets across the league. I've seen Isaiah Thomas. I've seen Jamal Crawford. Just two that off the top of my head that have, you know, quote tweeted Tim McMahon's tweet. And it's like, hey, man, shout out to Mark Cuban. Much respect to that. Players notice when teams do this, players do notice. And when you treat your vets, you treat your guys like this, like JJ and Dirk and all these guys, when you treat them well, players and other vets across the league notice that. So that's been really cool to see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's been super cool. And especially for a guy like Isaiah Thomas that was wronged by his franchise, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of nice to see. It's, you know, I bet it, he's definitely looking out for those kind of things. But yeah, Mavericks do right by JJ Barea. And he's on his way out, which is a crazy thing to think about. But doing right by the player, I think, is one of the big reasons why they did this, right? Even in Tim McMahon's report, Cuban wanted to reward him for his impact over the 11 years. So coming up, we're going to get into J.J. Barea's impact, what he did for this franchise, the things that he did in his with this franchise, all kinds of stuff, his stats, you know, the big moments in his career. And then we're going to get into what he actually, you know, means to this franchise and what it means him going out. So we'll talk about all that coming up. All right, Isaac Harris, let's get into J.J. Barea. He means a lot to this franchise. Talk about what he did and why. Maybe some of our listeners are you know, younger Mavs fans and didn't watch him his whole career and don't get what's the point of this small Puerto Rican guard that, like, what's the point of this guy? So we'll talk about him. But coming up this week in the Locked On Mavericks podcast, Saturday night, Mavs basketball is back. If you've listened to this if you haven't listened to this podcast for, you know, the last couple of years, we do every single post game. So every single post game, Isaac and I will have a show up for you at some point after the game. So it'll be up for you the next morning. We will have every single one. So we'll do preseason as well. The three preseason games, we'll have a show right after that, whether it's weekends or whatever. We'll put in the overtime. We're not worried about that. We're not worried about the hours. We'll put that in. So listen to us, subscribe to the show if you haven't. J.J. Barea, he is, we've talked about his all-time stats a little bit, but He's such an interesting player in his career, right? So he goes undrafted in 2006. 2006, absolutely wild. 14 years he's been in the league, and he's not done yet. I mean, he could still go and play this season and make that 15, I think. But yeah, 2006, the only players that are still in the league in 2006. You want to try to guess any of these guys? Did you see the list I tweeted out?
Under 10 players, maybe?
Oh, definitely under 10. There's seven. Okay. I'm going to give you seven. You have a guess on any of them. And you can try to guess as well. 2006, who was drafted in 2006? I'll give you one clue that was the Andrea Bargnani draft where he was drafted number one overall.
I'm going to say he's not in the league anymore. So
he is not. No, he's not one of the seven. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Off the top
if he was part of the seven, he'd be like the deep. He got kicked out of the seven. That's a boys reference if you guys don't watch that show. That's a great show, too. Very gory. Do not watch it with children. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge, he was the number two pick. He's still in the league. He's still kicking. Okay. Rudy Gay, he was the number eighth pick. He's still going. J.J. Redick, number 11 in that draft. Staying power for him. Mavs legend, Rajon Rondo, number 21.
All right, let's just pass on to the
Legends can be good or bad. Just ask any... Sure. Kyle Lowry, number 24. That's another interesting one.
Soaking stars.
The one that really threw me off when people saw this on Twitter, maybe if I got this wrong at first, PJ Tucker. He was the number 35 pick in that 2006 draft, but he only played 9 years. He was out of the league for about 5 years there, you know, at the beginning of his career, but he was drafted and played his rookie year a little bit. Then Paul Millsap, he was the number 47 pick in that draft. So what that means is, so 60 players are drafted, 7 are still in the league, 8 including J.J. Barea, but that means that 53 players stopped playing before J.J. Barea stopped playing, which is wild. I believe I saw that one of those was Brandon Roy, Randy Foy was one of those guys, but yeah, Andre Bargnani, obviously, there's a lot of players that didn't make it, and J.J. is still going, so that's just a testament to what he did. But this guy, he should never have made it, right? It just doesn't seem like a type of player, just looking at him, if he was coming out in the draft today, we would pick him apart, right? There's no way we would be so inclined to be like, oh yeah, this guy, he's for sure 10-year vet in the league, he'll be there. I mean, it's just wild to think about the player that JJ is, him coming out in the draft, we would never draft him. Like, there's no chance.
Well, I know it's crazy when you think about it that, you know, even just looking at this past draft, how many, you know, some of these guards in the late first round or second round, and you know, some of them that are super athletic, but they're like 6'1", and everybody's like freaking out. It's like, ah, man, 6'1", I don't know.
We were talking about Tyrell Terry being too small.
Yeah, he's like, what, 6'3"?
He's 6'3". Like,
so, you know, people just freaking out about that. And now, listen, one of the age-old, like, funny things about J.J. Barea when it comes to roster stuff is a lot of times he's been listed at 6 foot. He's not 6 foot.
All right, I've seen 6'1" some years.
I hate to spoil that for anybody that's watching this, but JJ Barrett's not 6 foot tall, so it's probably 6'10". I mean 5'10", 6'10", 5'10".
6'10". I am 6 foot three on a good day, and I can see the top of JJ Barrett's head when I stand next to him. So if that tells you anything, gives you perspective.
But no, I mean everything. I mean just undrafted, 5 foot ten. For crazy. Him to last this crazy. Many years in the league, and not just that, but have the impact that he has and have the big moments that he had. I mean, 2011, we'll talk more about that, but to have the career that JJ has had, like, unheard of. And I go back to, since we're just reminiscing about JJ, I go back to, I was sitting courtside back a few years ago, and I was talking to Melvin Hunt, and who is assistant coach with Atlanta Hawks now, was assistant for Dallas for a bit. And we were sitting there talking, and we were just talking about different guys across the league. And we were talking about different Mavericks and just different fields, different things they were working on. And he looked at me, he said, Isaac, I'll tell you this. One of the most athletic people that's ever played here is JJ Barea. He said, and you never say that because when you think about the athletic, you know, athletic people, you think of, and he even said this. He's like, when you think about the best athletes, you think of the, you know, the tallest athletes, you talk about the strongest athletes and just like the crazy bodies and all this stuff. He said, but JJ Barea is one of the best athletes that's ever played here because what he can do at his size on the basketball court, it's so athletic, and what he does with his body and how it, just how he has been so successful as an NBA player. And that just always stuck with me because it's like, hey, athletes come in all sizes, right? And it's like JJ Barea at 5'10", and to hear an assistant coach say that and explain that to me, it just always meant a lot to me and just gave me a whole another perspective of JJ Barea and how he kind of defied the odds of being as a successful NBA player as he has.
Oh, absolutely. JJ Barea, it should be one of, we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about what he means, but he should be the biggest inspiration for anybody out there, any kid out there that's the smallest kid, right? You look up to Steph Curry, but you should look up to JJ Barea more because there's a better chance you're going to end up being 5'9 than 6'3, right? If you're the smallest kid on the court right now. And he is the one that made it happen. I mean, he, you know, he found his way into the NBA. He found the right role for himself. He became a really good pick and roll player where he could just, you know, carve people up with his passing and being able to sneak around guys inside the post and the ball handling, the control of the ball that he had and still has. I don't talk about him like he's dead, but like he's just one of those incredible players that should be inspiring to everybody. Let's talk about 2011 because it's the biggest moment, probably the best moment of his career, I think. 2000, even though he had one of his best seasons like 2 years ago, which is kind of wild to think about before the Achilles.
And one of the best, the best moment in franchise history. I mean, I think is a huge thing too. It's not just the best moment of his career, but we're talking about the best moment in the entire history of the franchise. JJ Barea was a pinnacle, like main part of that and reason behind it.
Absolutely. So he played in, you know, every single game of the playoffs. He started only 2 games during the regular season. 2 games. That's important. That's called foreshadowing. He had some pretty good games. You know, in the closeout game against the Lakers, game 4, he had 22 points and 8 assists. He had 21 points in game 1 against OKC in that series, which was huge. And then you get to the finals, and just the finals became, it like made JJ Barea a legend. And I think he may have earned like 5 extra years just by this, right? Like you get the benefit of the doubt for 5 more years just because of this run right here. We've talked about this so many times. We do finals flashback every single, you know, off season, which we didn't do this off season, but this off season was weird.
We did during quarantine though.
Oh, that's true. The first part we did finals flashback, but so Mavs go down 2-1 against the Heat, right? So Mavs are down 2-1. Heat won 2 games, Mavericks won just game 2 where Dirk had that crazy, you know, comeback. The best. Yeah. JJ Barea gets moved into the starting lineup. A ballsy move, playing against LeBron and Wade and Bosch and, you know, Mike Bibby was the other point guard there. And then he gets put in the starting lineup. They win game 4. Barea only has 8 points and 4 assists. But then in game 5, he has 17 points, 5 assists, hits 4 of 5 threes. It was absolutely huge for them in that game. And in the closeout game 6, has 15 points, 5 assists, and 2 steals. He was massive for them. A crazy change of pace. And just the fact that they could throw that different look. We talk about this with the Mavericks now. You have to be able to throw different looks out there. And J.J. Barea was able to throw a different look because the point guard at the time, you have to remember, was Jason Kidd. And he was kind of this aging guard that, you know, didn't really have his fastball athletically anymore. He was still awesome defensively, awesome playmaker. But J.J. Barea came in, and he was the speedy, you know, change of directions kind of guard that came in. It was, you know, killing in the pick and roll and all that. He could shoot, you know, better than Jason Kidd at the time. And so it was absolutely crazy to throw him in. That decision by Carlisle, it's a legendary coaching decision, but he did it. The Mavericks, you know, spoiler alert, they won the series. They won the title that year. Dirk brought home the hardware, and J.J. Barea was a huge part of that.
Yeah, I mean, Tim McMahon, ESPN, jokes all the time about this cojones factor, and Rick Carlisle gets it from making that move in the biggest stage of basketball, the NBA Finals, going against the super team in Miami with LeBron and them.
If you don't remember how big that team was, they had like their opening press conference was in an arena where they were like, not one, not two, not three titles. I mean, I'm sure everyone that's listening remembers that. But and then ESPN created their own website just to cover that specific team. That's how big it was back then. And the Mavericks took them down. And J.J. Barea, 5'10", 5'9", J.J. Barea was the reason why, because of his cojones. Man.
I mean, for Rick Carlisle to put him into the starting unit against that team and for it to succeed like it did, I mean, it's something Mavericks fans will never forget. I mean, I just asked Rick Carlisle about this, you know, last week and at the beginning of training camp. I asked Rick, I said, hey, what is the importance of having a guy like J.J. Barea, like, you know, for this young team? And he went on this whole thing about his leadership stuff, but he mentioned he's the last player left from that 2011 team. And, you know, here with the franchise, he's like, you know, a guy that started those games in the finals and just, I mean, the LeBron stopper, J.J. Barea. But no, I mean, we'll never forget, never, ever forget the 2011 run. I mean, the Andrew Bynum moment too in that playoffs.
Yeah, that's huge.
Andrew Bynum clothesline, J.J. Barea, one of the cheapest shots ever. And it's like, all right, hey, J.J. lasted longer than you in the NBA by a long shot, buddy.
J.J. Barea ended Andrew Bynum's career. I mean, after that moment, Bynum never came back, right? He gets traded to Philly in that three-team trade that sent four-team trade. It sent Iguodala to the Nuggets. It sent Dwight Howard from the Magic to the Lakers and Andrew Bynum to the Sixers. And he came back with the crazy, you know, mismatched hair, and then he was just like out of there. Like he was out of the league. Like he just didn't last after that, after he closed on J.J. Barea. The other moment that I saw a couple people, I think Bibbs Corner tweeted this out, was the video of J.J. Barea pushing Blake Griffin. This like 2 or 3 years ago where he pushes Blake Griffin and Blake Griffin just completely flops and flies all the way back. But it just looks like this small J.J. Barea throws this bow at Blake Griffin and tosses him across the court, which was wild. There's so many moments like that we can come up with. Coming up, let's talk about what J.J. Barea means to this franchise. We've already kind of got into it. We've alluded to it. But we're going to hear from Mark Cuban. We're going to hear from him on what he thinks about J.J. Barea and what he thinks about, you know, the retiring his jersey and what we think about that. We'll talk about that coming up. All right, Isaac, let's continue to talk about the greatness, the legend, J.J. Barea. But before we do, the wait is over. The 2021 season of NBA is almost here, and the Locked On Mavericks podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. That's coming up. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of the local Locked On experts, including your boys, the Locked On Mavericks podcast. We already sent ours in. Plus, waiver wire additions from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Show, which is an awesome show, by the way. Go subscribe to that. Josh Lloyd is crazy. He was 13th on iTunes the other day, which is absolutely wild. Rookies to watch from Chad Ford and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Locked On NBA. All right, J.J. Barea. What he means to this team, you can't really put into, you can try to put into words, but I can't believe we're having to do this 2 years in a row with Dirk and then with now with JJ. I mean, he's the last semblance. Carlisle mentioned this. He's the last semblance of a player from the 2011 squad, which I think really matters for this team. I think it's one of the reasons why they wanted to bring JJ Barea back again. And I'm sure it's very complicated, the reasons why he's not going to be on the team now. But he was the last player from that 2011 team. He was the through line. Carlisle's still there. Donnie's still there. Cuban's still there. You know, you have You know, guys that were still around from there, a lot of people in the organization, but as a player on the court that was there on the court that can actually talk about this kind of stuff. The Mavericks now have no players that have finals experience, right? None. Courtney Lee, I guess now he's back. He was in the 2009 finals, but he's not going to be on the roster. There's nobody else that has real deep playoff. I mean, even a conference final. Is there anybody? Is James Johnson? I don't think so.
Boban off the top never. Of my head.
We're thinking this off the top of our heads, but I don't think so. He was the last guy that had real actual, you know, finals like playoff experience. So I think he means a lot to this team in that sense. And it's a hard loss in that sense, but for what he means to the franchise in general, there's so many things.
Yeah, I mean, that was the, you know, keeping him around. I mean, there's just not many guys that are so beloved, you know, around the franchise. And, you know, when he came back the second time, you know, because we don't like to remember his Minnesota stint, but, you know, he goes off to Minnesota for a couple years, but then he comes back here and it's like, there's not been very many players that, one, I mean, how many players across the league played, you know, over 10 seasons for a franchise? That's
not many.
I mean, that doesn't happen very often. We're not even talking about Dallas. I'm just talking about any team. How many players have played 10 seasons for a franchise? That
it's
doesn't
like
happen.
Haslam, Curry's getting close. Like Westbrook was there with the Thunder, but he's gone now. He's twice removed from the Thunder. I mean, there's just you're right. There's just not many guys that have played 10 seasons for one team now.
Yeah, he's kind of like our Nick Collison, you know, in a way for like OKC and some of these guys. But Haslam. I mean, even when you look at, I know you have more of these stats, but it's crazy when you think of other Mavericks legends on, you know, in franchise history, and JJ Barea has passed them in games played. He passed a couple of key parts of, you know, key guys this past year in Michael Finley and Jason Terry in games played. And you know, JJ Barea is fifth all time in franchise history in games played. He is only behind Dirk Nowitzki, Brad Davis, Derek Harper, and Rolando Blackman. That's the only four players that are ahead of him in games played. JJ Barea is there, and it's crazy.
If I'm not mistaken, all those jerseys are in the rafters at the AAC.
They are.
They are.
They are.
All four of them, they're there.
So and if you ask me, JJ Barea's number should be in the rafters. Do it. It should be there.
And we'll get into that coming up. But fifth in games played all time. These are the Mavericks all-time regular season ranks. He's fifth in games played, 15th in minutes played. And he came off the bench. It's not like he was, you know, playing 30, 35 minutes a night at some point. I mean, this is a long time with the Mavericks. 12,000 minutes he played for the Mavericks specifically. 13th in total points for the Mavericks. And he wasn't really a high volume scorer either, but 13th in total points, 5,458 points for JJ Barea. 8th in total assists, 2,441. Go to the playoffs, all-time playoff stats. He's 7th in games played in the playoffs for the Mavericks. Dirk number 1 obviously, Jet number 2. Number 3 kind of threw me off here. Josh Howard. I did not expect that. Number 4 threw me off even farther. Eric Dampier is number 4 in the Mavericks.
Those guys on that 2006 year they got robbed.
Right, but yeah, that kind of threw me off. Then Michael Finley, then Devin Harris. Those names I expected. But yeah, Eric Dampier, I don't know why I didn't expect him. But 16th in total playoff minutes played, 984. 16th in total points scored in the playoffs for the Mavericks, 393. And then 7th in total assists, 178, which Luka is going to pass like next year. Probably. Yes. But it also kind of pointed out to me, the Mavericks don't have a long history, right? Started in 1980, so it's not like they've been around since some of these teams started in like 47 when the NBA started, right? I mean, but so JJ Barea, because the Mavericks don't have that long of a history, he means so much more than, you know, maybe a role player for somebody else, like a Byron Scott for the Lakers, you know, some guy that was on these title teams, but doesn't mean as much because they have such a long history with all these other people and stuff like that.
And I'm glad you mentioned his role in that, because I know some people can look at it and be like, all right, well, he's, you know, only so far up the total points, or only so far up some of these categories. Well, this guy came off the bench. It's not like he was, you know, a guy like Michael Finley, who he's played more games in franchise history. He's over guys like Michael Finley, Mark Aguirre, Jason Terry. These are guys that we associate as these legends for the Mavericks. And JJ has appeared in more games for the Mavericks than Mark Aguirre, Michael Finley. Like, that's crazy to think about for some people, because it's like, all right, Barea was this, you know, second unit type of guy. He always came off the bench for the most part. So But just because he came off the bench doesn't mean he wasn't just as important to this franchise.
Absolutely. And speaking of being important to the franchise, Isaac alluded to it earlier. We talked to Mark Cuban a couple years ago about JJ Barea potentially getting his number retired. So let's hear from Mark Cuban what he has to say about the Mavericks potentially retiring JJ's jersey.
With as far as honoring him, continue on with that with JJ. Could, whenever JJ decides to hang it up, I've been very vocal. I think he could get his jersey retired.
You know, I want retired jerseys to be rare. You know, I want them to be very rare. Maybe we'll do a Ring of Honor type thing. Yeah. You know, but it's not something I have even thought about right now. I mean, JJ, Jet, guys who have been here that were here 8-10 years.
Finley.
Yeah, Finn. Yeah. That were here and had a big, you know, Mark McGuire. Those types of guys, you got to give consideration. It's just, what are we going to do? You know, and I haven't given a lot of thought.
If you're watching on WFAA, you may not have been able to hear that so clearly, but the Mavericks, you know, Mark Cuban said he hasn't given a ton of thought to it as far as, you know, putting JJ in the rafters, but he said it won't happen. He said you got to give some consideration to some of these, you know, players. They might do a Ring of Honor, but he doesn't think it's going to happen. This has been like your platform, Isaac. If you were, you know, campaigning to be like the leader of the Mavs fan base, this has been part of your campaign.
It has. And if you couldn't hear it, you could go back and listen to our podcast episode of that. But that was the sound of Mark Cuban disagreeing with me on our podcast. That after I'm like, hey, I've been really campaigning for this. But yeah, I'll die on this hill. I will. I think what and it's important to like realize that like we can all have different opinions on the numbers that should be retired. I mean, heck, go look at the numbers retired in Portland. OK, have fun with that. But you know, for Dallas, you know, you retire a number like Brad Davis, and it's no shot against Brad Davis, but if Brad Davis has his number retired, I want JJ Barea's number retired in Dallas too. And I think when I look at numbers retired in a place or in Dallas, it's everything considered. It's not just, hey, were you a Hall of Famer type of player? It's everything considered. And we've went through this whole podcast and this whole thing, and we haven't even, I mean, touched on, and we could go a whole nother podcast on what JJ Barea has done off the court. And I think that it helps the whole case of like everything he's done off the court in this community in Dallas for, you know, over a decade, what he's done for his country and really, I mean, that whole story, those whole, ever all those stories coming out a few years ago, everything he's done for Puerto Rico, just the international game, his story, being undrafted, what he's meant for this team at the highest level of this franchise in the 2011 finals. Just everything, when you look at his whole career in Dallas from a bird's eye view and just put it all together and add all of it up, in my opinion, it equals to a number being in the rafters. So I will die on that hill. I will believe all the time that JJ Barea should, his number, whatever number you want to decide it should be, whether it's 5 or 11, I don't know what number you want to land on with that, but whatever number it is, I think it should be hanging in the rafters because JJ Barea means that much, not just to the Dallas Mavericks and not just to the fans, but to the city of Dallas.
Yes. I'm with you. I don't know if I feel as strongly as you. I kind of go with Mark Cuban on this as far as I think it should be super rare. It should be like a Hall of Fame type player that should get their number retired because you're saying that no one else can wear that number anymore. And that number means so much to this franchise that it's retired. But yeah, JJ Barea, we were just listening back to some of our Mavs Academy Awards. And one year we called JJ Barea the philanthropist, right? That he had done so much, and it was after Puerto Rico went through that crazy storm. He had done so much for his country, and yeah, just his off the court stuff. I think I'm glad that you mentioned that. It's something that matters a lot. So, any last words about JJ Barea? I'm sure we'll do some more stuff about him. We'll talk about him on this podcast ongoing. But any more, you know, not a parting shot, but any more parting, you know, words you want to say about JJ?
Yeah, I just want to say this. You know, I don't know. I don't have JJ's number that I'm going to sit here and text him right now or anything. But I did, you know, I have gotten the opportunity to go to a lot of Mavs games and home games and be in that locker room a lot over the past handful of years. And JJ Barea is one of the best people to talk to for story, not just stories, but just in general, just about the game, about life. You know, pinned on my profile on Twitter, on my Twitter account, is my favorite piece I've probably ever written. And it was about being a girl dad. And we were a couple of weeks out from our girl being born, my wife and I. And I talked to all the girl dads on the team, and JJ Barea being one of those. He gave me advice on being a girl dad. He gave me just examples of his life. And I think that was one of the biggest things about Barea's career is I loved how his family was incorporated with his job, and how many times we seen his family, his wife and kids, at community events. We saw him at the games. I remember seeing, you know, one of the last games before the league shut down, I was standing at the ropes as players came off the court to go back in the locker room, and his wife and his little girl were right in front of me at the rope waving at JJ as he's coming off the floor. And he runs over there, he bolts over there and gives his wife a kiss and his daughter a kiss. And, you know, he talks to him a little bit and goes back in the locker room. And it was just the most beautiful thing. It's like, he's such a family guy. And I love him in that locker room. I love him as an individual. I could just go all day about it. And the Mavericks love him too. So if this is the end for JJ Barea in his playing career, what a heck of a career. If it's not, if he goes to another team, then I'm going to be a fan of another team if JJ Barea is on it. So love JJ.
Ooh, absolutely. There you go, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with more Media Day. Rick Carlisle and JJ Barea are going to speak to the media. So JJ Barea on his way out, but going to speak. And so this is kind of his last, you know, press conference, I guess it'll be. A less official one, probably. And then stick with us for the weekend. Mavs basketball is back. We'll see Luka Doncic play, hopefully, this Saturday. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Mavs.
Peace out. Boom.
With all that's gone on, Miami right there. Barea, the high arcer. That's a three. JJ Barea from downtown, his fourth of the game.
Well, Rick Carlisle inserts JJ Barea in the starting lineup, and certainly it has given him energy on the offensive end. Talk about rainbow jump shots. The contested hand of Chalmers, and JJ knocks down a chip.